Glory. Come on, somebody say glory.
Glory.
Glory. Come on. Ah, so good. For some reason, worship goes so fast when I'm preaching. So quick, all the time. Like, man, worship is already over. Wow. Right? Johnny, talk to me about after service about speakers. I may have an idea. Man. God is good. Amen. 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 Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? And all the time? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was such a blessing to be at a small group this weekend and or Friday. I suggest you guys all come because it's a really good time to be in communion and fellowship with people. And man, God is just so good. It's such a privilege, y'all. It's such a privilege to come to this place. To come and to not only church, but to youth, and to be surrounded with people that are striving for God. Like, I gotta tell you guys something. I come from a youth that's, when I just started going to youth, people were on fire for God. And those people that were in the youth at that time, they grew up and they got married and they left youth and they had families. And all of a sudden, there's a whole new wave of youth that started coming in. And they weren't as on fire for God. And all of a sudden, everybody around us was just kind of like, yeah, just youth service. And people come to youth and they talk about cars and they leave and they go home and go to IHOP afterwards or whatever. But it's like, it's such a privilege, y'all, to come to a place of worship. And to come and to seek God's face together. It's just such a privilege. I want to just let you guys know, you guys are privileged to have such an amazing youth. An awesome, awesome place to have youth at. Let's just open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Somebody say glory when you get there. 10:23. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Glory. Come on. Come on, glory. Man, I didn't even have a chance to name the sermon because, well, we'll figure that out later. But we're going to just start reading from verse 23. Let's close our eyes real quick and come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the privilege to present your word today, God. Father, I pray that I can do this well, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through your word to each and every single heart. God, that it won't be a humanly wisdom, Lord, but it'll be the Spirit of God that will open up your truths from your word. Father, we thank you for your word, God, and we just pray, bless this time. In your name we pray. Amen. So Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Somebody say Corinth. Corinth. They call the Corinthians Corinth, right? And Cordy for short. So you guys probably don't get that, but who's ever heard of 116 Click? The 116 Click. What about Lecrae? Trip Lee. Oh, back in my day. So back in the day they actually had this group of rappers. They called themselves the 116 Click. So 116 Click. And they would they released this album called The 13 Letters, and they would go through each and every single book of Apostle Paul, and they would pretty much have like a little rap song that summarized each book, and it's really, really cool. Really good. Go check it out. It's called 13 Letters. But let's go to verse 23, right, from 1 Corinthians. And Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Corinthians, and he says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up." You know, back in Bible school, I was talking to these girls. We call her Vicky. She's a super cool girl, right? And we were watching football. And she's like, "Football is a sin." And I'm like, "No, it ain't." She's like, "Yes, it is, because it's violent." And I'm saying, "Well, sister, okay, we got freedom in Christ, though. We have the freedom in Christ to watch whatever we want to watch. To look at whatever, like, not sinful, guys, not sinful. But we have the freedom in Christ to do certain stuff. Amen? We have the freedom as believers to go and to watch football, to watch UFC fights and all this stuff and not be condemned about it. The brothers are cheering here. But we have the freedom in Christ to do these things. And we got to be careful with that, though. Because with freedom in Christ, we can be doing things. And it says here that all things are lawful, but not all things build up. All right? Not all things are helpful. So we could be doing some things. And actually, a chapter or two before this, Paul is talking about idolatry. And we could be doing things and turning them into idolatry. So we must be really careful with the freedom that Christ has given us. We have liberty and to walk in Christ and to be free in Christ and to watch football. But don't make it an idol out of it, because that can be a sin. Amen? Somebody say sin. Now run away from it. All right? Run from sin. So all things are lawful, but not all things build up. You can be a Christian, a believer, and waste your life. Y'all know that? Who's ever heard the song, Waste Your Life? Don't want to waste my life. Yeah, that's the rap song. So we can, be as Christians, we can live our lives in the freedom of Christ that Christ gives us and waste our time in life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We could take our freedom in Christ and not use it to build others up. And not use it for something that builds up or something that edifies. We have freedom in Christ. But we have to make it directional. All right? So we have to focus on the things that edify. Somebody say edify. Edify. Come on. The things that edify. The things that build up. Verse 24. And Apostle Paul, he likes to kind of do this sometimes, where he puts up an idea and then he explains it in the next verse. So verse 24, it says, let no one seek his own, but the good of his neighbor. So verse 24 says, you have freedom in Christ to do whatever you want. But that doesn't mean it's going to build you up, or that doesn't mean that it's going to give you benefit. And then for the next verse down, he says, look not for your own good, but for the good of your neighbor. Why? That's going to build you up. You guys understand what I'm saying? All right, cool. A life that has direction. A direction. What kind of direction? To build up your neighbor. Build up your brother. Build up your sister. Build up the people around you. If you guys go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. It says, let love be genuine. Okay? Amen. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. This verse again says, let love be genuine. Have real love. Hate what is evil and hold on to what is good. The next verse says this. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. It says, despise what is good, but hold on to what is good. What is good? Loving your brother and showing, outdoing them in showing honor. Come on, brother. Come on, somebody. Somebody say honor. Honor. Honor, man. Living a life that is pleasing to God by loving our neighbors and outdoing them in honor. If we look on to If we keep reading on, it shows us how we accomplish that. How we outdo each other in showing honor. Y'all ready for this? Check this out. Verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Now somebody say zeal.
Zeal.
Zeal. What is zeal?
Righteous anger.
Ooh, sometimes. But what is zeal? It's passion. That's what it is. So zeal is being passionate. Right? So, you guys ever been passionate about something? Say something you guys have been passionate about before. Sports, right? What happens when you're passionate about sports? Who knows?
Yeah,
you work out. If you're playing sports, you're working out, you're going to practices, you're doing all this sort of stuff. You're competitive. You're like, I'm going to take you down, you know. You might cheat sometimes. I don't recommend it, but I did it at camp, and I'm sorry, guys. Forgive me.
Whoa.
For that. Anyways, moving on. But when you're passionate, the Bible says, Paul is saying, to outdo each other in honor, have passion. Okay? So do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in what? Guys, what do we got to be fervent in? Spirit. What does fervent mean?
Consistent determination.
It means extremely passionate. Being extremely passionate. Somebody say passionate.
Passionate.
Passionate, right? I got to tell you guys something. Passion without doctrine is going to be dangerous. It's like having power without control. Okay, you could do a lot of damage in that. So be careful. But it says, be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, Apostle Paul is saying, guys, seek to outdo each other in honor. All right, this is how you do it right here. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Weep with those who are weeping. Live your life in seeking how to make other people blessed, how to bless other people. Live your life in the direction that you want to bless people around you and seek to do the good for those people around you. You guys understand what I'm saying? Say amen if you guys understand.
Amen.
I love verse 18 because it says, if possible, so as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. With all. Yes. Who's ever had issues with anybody? Yeah, me too, right? I live with a wife. It's amazing. Guys, marriage is amazing, all right? Don't give me that look. Okay. But sometimes I can be a total jerk, all right? And I got to tell you guys this. My wife, she does whatever she can to live peaceably with me. Okay? And then I have to come back and apologize to her. And guess what? Sometimes I don't deserve, you know, I don't deserve her niceness to me or whatever. But she still does her best to keep the peace between us. And I'm like, wow, why is she so nice to me right now? I'm being such a jerk. And I got to go back and apologize, you know? So like, whatever, however it depends on you, try to make peace with everybody around you. Don't try to be like, man, Dan said this to me, so I'm going to say this back to him, and I'm going to give him a dirty look or whatever. Don't do that, guys. As long as it depends on you, even if they wronged you, man, even if they said something bad about you, you go there and you make it up. You go there, you buy them coffee. You go there and you try to... Yeah, Johnny wants coffee, y'all, whoever's having issues with him. But you try to make peace with everybody around you.
Yeah.
Amen. Man, come on. And then just to verse 21 real quick. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. So going back to 1 Corinthians. Going back to 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own, but the good of his neighbor. And so we have the freedom in Christ to either go and waste our life and just do whatever we can and do everything for ourselves and just get another car, get another job, do with this and that, and we're just doing ourselves, seeking after us. Or we can be directional and seek how it says here, not our own, but the good of our neighbors. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Who is your neighbor? I don't even know my neighbors, like physical neighbors. But neighbors is everybody who's around you. You know, you seek to do good to those who are around you.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 25. Eat whatever is sold in the marketplace without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. Verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now here Apostle Paul is discussing an issue that the church in Corinth was having. All right, so sometimes Apostle Paul will do that. He will address certain kind of issues and pinpoint them. So this is a certain issue, and he talks more about it in chapter 8, where Apostle Paul is hitting on the fact that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All right, there was an issue in Corinth in those days, from what I understand from my very little research that I've done, that they were selling meats, and some of these meats have been offered to idols. And so some of the Christians, they were like, I don't know if I should eat that or not, because that might be sanctified to Satan or Baal or whatever the kind of gods they had. And from what I understand, there was a marketplace, and at the marketplace, it was always often, I guess, used as a place where they would offer them, and then after the offering, they would come and sell them at the markets, right? If anybody knows the history, something like that, right? Right, so... So that was the issue of the day. And Apostle Paul, he crushes that. He says, eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He gives a reference from Scripture. All right, he gives a reference to resolve this issue that they're having right now in the church. And he gives them this answer where it says, the earth is the Lord's. God is king of everything. Amen. Everything belongs to him. When I was younger, man, I was in kindergarten or elementary school, and it was Halloween time. Man, I was kind of sad. I was like, all these kids getting candy, true, cupcakes, whatever. My mama says, don't eat anything with a spider or a ghost on it. Yeah. It's from the devil. I'm like, oh man, it looks so good. Who's ever had one of those cookies? Repent, yo. Repent. No, I'm kidding, but it was like this whole thing, and I kind of relate to this, right? Because my mama used to say, hey, dude, this stuff is bashishone. It's been given to the devil. Don't eat it, right? But I'm like, but mom, like, everything is the Lord. I didn't tell her that. I was actually obedient. I didn't eat any of that because my brother ate some and his stomach hurt. So, guys, don't eat that stuff. But Apostle Paul is given an answer from Scripture. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God is over everything, over all the meat, over all the music. I used to think, man, like, people used to tell me certain music genres are just bad. You cannot have Christian rap, because rap came from Africa, and in Africa they had the drum to call out certain spirits, and so when you have that beat in a song, then it is demonic. Like, wait, man, God is over everything. Amen? Amen. Somebody say everything. Amen. Everything. Amen. God is over everything. Amen. All right? God is the Lord of everything. That's actually a big reason why they didn't have drums at certain conservative churches for a long time. Is because the drums were from Africa or something like that. Something crazy like that. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If, verse 27, if one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, you are disposed to go. Eat, disposed, like you have to go. You should go. If you get invited to a party, you should go. Like to a dinner party. That's what Apostle Paul is saying right here. Yeah, Apostle Paul is talking. I'm talking about Apostle Paul right now. He's saying, if you are invited to an unbeliever's house for dinner, you should go. Eat whatever is set before you without raising any questions on the ground of conscience. But, verse 28, ready? But if someone says to you, this meat has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of not yourself, but the one who informed you. Yes, for the one who informed you. And for the sake of conscience. Now, verse 29 says, I do not mean your conscience, but him. For why should my liberty, why should my freedom be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that which I give thanks? Paul, Apostle Paul was saying this, man. Because in those times, if an unbeliever invites you to their house, those unbelievers, they were probably serving other gods. Those unbelievers, they were probably pagans, and the meat that they had was just came from a sacrifice, right? So let's say they give you some kind of nice chicken. I love chicken, right? So they gave you this nice chicken breast with some noodles on the side or whatever it was, and like, man, this was just, they set it before you, and they don't say anything about it. You're free to eat it. That's all good. This is good chicken, right? It's protein. Chicken is chicken, man. It's chicken, right? But as soon as they say, hey, this chicken right here, this was given to my God, Buddha or whatever, and this is now sanctified chicken by him, by some demon, and now you're like, okay, well, I mean, I'm not going to eat it because you just told me who it's from, right? Why would Apostle Paul say that? Anybody have any ideas? Yes, for witnessing. So Apostle Paul says, man, if you call yourself a believer and you go in the midst of unbelievers and you're sitting down and they give you food and then they say this food has been dedicated to some kind of demon, then don't eat it. Not because it's not chicken anymore. It's not why you're not eating it. You're not eating it because they told you that this is dedicated to some demon. And not for your sake, but for their sake. So now they're looking at you, they see, okay, this person is set apart. This person is set apart for the sake of evangelism. So verse 30, if I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that which I give thanks? So for the sake of evangelism, Apostle Paul says, go in the midst of unbelievers. Go to those places. Right? Who remembers what we started this sermon off with? No. Freedom, right? We have started this sermon off with freedom of God. We have freedom in Christ to do whatever we want. And Apostle Paul is kind of laying this out for them. He's saying, you have the freedom to eat whatever you want, man. You have the freedom to eat all that chicken, all that beef that was just dedicated. You have that freedom. But for their sake, don't do it. For the sake of evangelism, don't do it. For the sake of evangelism. Verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, okay, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Glory of God. Everything we do, man, everything we do. Anything and everything we do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Somebody say amen again.
Amen.
Yes, glory of God. Man, this is the point of our Christian walk, man. I was on Facebook the other day, and all right, looking at Christian videos. Y'all. And I was looking at Christian videos, and this one guy comes up, and he's like, oh man, why did God plant that tree in Eden? And then his answer was like, the reason why God planted that tree in Eden and the reason why Adam fell is because God got bored. And God didn't want to just have Adam just do his thing in the garden and not go out, but God just got bored. I'm like, wait, man, hold on, that kind of makes sense, right? Maybe not. I don't know. But God did everything. Like, if you think about it, man. If you think about the Bible and why it's written. And from the very beginning, that God creates Adam. He's doing it for what? His glory. God creates Adam for his glory. God plants the trees for his glory. God does everything for his glory. We see the fall of Adam. We see the Noah, and Noah comes up. He builds an ark, right? For what purpose? For the purpose of God's glory. And the whole earth gets wiped out for what purpose? For the purpose of God's glory. And Adam's family gets saved, and they come out of there. And then there's Abraham, and Abraham makes a covenant with God for what? The purpose of God's glory. Everything goes to the purpose of God's glory. And we have Isaac and Jacob, and then it comes down to the story of Joseph. You guys remember the story of Joseph? Man, Joseph, right? He has these crazy dreams. He's like, hey, brothers, you guys are all going to bow to me. And they say, no, we're not. He said, yeah, you are. And guess what happens? They sell him off. Right? They sell him off. And it seems like if you're Joseph, you're like, what's going on with my life right now? What is happening to me right now? Like, am I actually living for God's glory? Because I feel like I'm a slave. In fact, I am a slave. I'm a slave to this Potiphar guy. And now his wife wants to do stuff to me. And now I'm in prison. And now in prison, God sent him these other, you know, winemaker and the tablecloth maker and whoever else it was. And all of a sudden, Joseph gets to witness to them there. Right? Not only does he witness to Potiphar's wife, he witnesses to those guys in prison. And now they get out of prison. And now they're with Pharaoh. Guys, this is crazy, right? They're with Pharaoh now. And all of a sudden, they remember Joseph, who understands dreams. And God is working. God has always been working, right? And they give him out of there. And all of a sudden, Joseph, he becomes the second man to Pharaoh, right? And Joseph gets his whole family to come. To come to Egypt with them, and we see that their brothers they're mind blown of how this happened, and Joseph's dreams are coming true, and everything is happening for what purpose, guys?
For God's glory.
Amen. Who remembers what happens when Joseph's dad dies?
Ooh, the brothers are like, he's gonna kill us now.
The brothers get worried. They start biting their nails.
Yeah.
You know? They're like, what's... Is he going to kill us? So they send somebody and they send him a message to say, hey, God, hey, Dad said don't touch us. Dad said you can't hurt us. And what does Joseph say?
What you talking about?
Joseph says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So we see that our evil, the evil actions of Joseph's brothers, right? God took them and he created them to go for his glory. He took him and he twisted them and he made him to work for his glory. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
You guys see how amazing this is right now? What happens then? We have all these years and years and we have David. And from David, it just rolls and rolls and rolls until we have Jesus. And we see God is working with his sovereign will. This was his plan from the very beginning, that God just started working. He's working, always working. And think about your own life. Your sanctification is for his glory. Your salvation is for his glory. He saves for his glory. He works in your life for his glory. Man, from the very beginning of our lives, we're so selfish. Who here has younger siblings? They can be brass sometimes, right? Right? They can be such brats, man. And if you guys don't have younger siblings, wait till you guys have kids. All right? Because check this out. Kids, when they want something, what do? They scream. They throw a tantrum. I'm not getting my way. I'm going to make the whole world pay.
Ooh.
I'll make everybody pay. You guys ain't sleeping. That's for sure. You think you can stop me? I'm too cute. Mm-mm. I'm just going to cry. And from the very beginning of our lives, we are taught selfishness. We are just selfish. And we just get in this mode of being selfish. Right? We're born just selfish. We want the best thing for us. We don't want to get bored, so we do things to entertain us. We don't want to go serve other people, so we just serve ourselves. We just have this selfish mentality, and it's all about me and me and me. I actually like what Saunders did. They put this little thing on their wall, and it says Sonder, and has a definition. What's the definition?
No,
Sonder. Sonder is the coffee place.
What is it?
Right? So they actually have a word for it. It's called Sonder. Come on, Gloria. Glory, man. And it's the realization of, man, my life, it's not just about me.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own life. Everybody has their own struggle. And in order to get to that, man, I believe that you have to be born again. Because we're born with this selfish nature. We're born with this fallen sin nature. The bad news, we were born in sin. The good news, you could be born again. Another Triple E song. All right. The greatest thing we can ever rest in is the fact of knowing that God will still accomplish his will with or without us. This guy named Vodi Bakum, he says like this. He says, man, I'm so happy that when I die, God's kingdom will still march on. God, think about the greatest Christian that ever lived. Let's say Apostle Paul, right? Billy Graham, man. Is he still alive?
No.
Okay, Billy Graham. When Billy Graham died, did the kingdom of God stop?
No, sir.
No, it keeps going. Every single time, it keeps advancing. It keeps going. And we start to learn that it's not about us or what we're going to do. It's not about how, you know, it's not about us. It's all about God and His glory. It's all about God and His glory. That's when Romans 11:36. If you read through the book of Romans, right before all of this, God, Apostle Paul is talking about God's choosing and the actually starts with the fallen nature of man and God giving them over to the desires of their lusts, and it talks about God's salvation, God's choosing, God's remnants of Israel, and talks about all this stuff about salvation, and it brings it down to this verse right here, verse 36 of chapter 11. It says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." God is constantly working to glorify himself for the glory of God. Man. So let's go back to the freedom part. Because we have the freedom to either waste our lives or live with direction. All right? To live with direction, to serve people around us. To live with direction, to serve God for His glory. Amen. Who's ever heard of Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. Right? Martin Luther. And the Protestant Reformation. 1517 or something like that, right? And what happens is, 500 years ago, Martin Luther, he's like, man, the Catholic Church is screwed up. We got to do something. And so he's like, I got these topics I want to debate on. And he writes 95 debate topics and nails them onto the church wall or church door. He's like, come at me, bro. Come on, let's do this. I don't think he puts his phone number on the bottom. But he's like, come at me, bro. And what happens is this whole reformation starts. And we have these five basic truths that come out of it. And that is, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, according to the authority of Scripture alone,
for His glory alone,
and soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. That is the most fundamental one, because the other four don't work without the last one. The other four doesn't work without the last one. So God is doing everything for His own glory, for His own purpose. He's sanctifying you for His glory. Think about your life right now. Who here is in school? Right? Are you guys noticing God working in your school? Okay, what about your personal life? You notice that God is working in your personal life? Right? God is working. Why is He doing that?
For His glory.
For His glory. That's the answer today, man. Why do we worship? For His glory, man. I used to be like, dude, I don't like the worship set today. I don't like the worship song today. My wife would be like, well, good thing it's not about you. I'm like, woo, girl, y'all, man, my wife is awesome. But worship is not about how you feel.
Amen.
Worship is not how you're going to feel after that. That's a benefit of worship. That's the aftermath of worship. But we're worshiping God who deserves all the glory. Say that again. All the glory. All the glory. Come on. Come on, man. How does this translate to our lives? Right? Because we've been doing a lot of practical sermons. Or not we, but mostly Johnny and Nick. And a lot of them have been pretty practical, like fasting. Why do we fast? For His glory. Why do we pray? For His glory. Why do we worship? For His glory. That's the basic fundamental roots of everything. Now, man, when you realize this, that everything you do in eating, in drinking, or in action, you do it for His glory. Amen. Now think about it. When you start thinking like that, and you go to school, and you take out your workbook or your homework book, and you start doing things for His, you do start doing math for His glory. Oh. Come on. When you start working, I'm an electrician, man. When I work for His glory, my quality of work is much higher. All right, guys? When you start working for His glory, you become more disciplined. Because you know this is not about you, it's for the glory of God. And I'm representing God right now. I'm representing His kingdom right now. So I must do this for the glory of God. It changes your outlook on life. It changes your quality of work. It changes the way you pray for other people. It changes everything because you realize it's not about you, but it's about His glory. And guess what? God is always going to get His glory. Amen. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, either now or in eternity. Everyone will bow before God. Amen. So in conclusion, I'm going to end my sermon. Is that okay if I end now? Or do you want me to keep going? Man, glory. Somebody say glory. For His glory, for His glory, y'all. That's good. Man, I want to just end with this. Live your life glorifying God.
Yeah.
And nobody else. No, nobody and nothing else.
Nobody.
Play your piano for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Yeah, I don't know why your teeth are blue either, but. But everything we do.
What?
Polluting it. What?
Blue teeth. And everything we do in work or deed, we do for the glory of God. So let's just stand up and pray real quick.
Yeah.
I want you guys to just close your eyes real quick. And just, you know, get serious with God right now. And just think about your life. And think about where you were a year or two ago. Think about how God has been working in your life from a year ago. From 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I know some of you guys that were not where you guys are today. And that's not because of what you did. That's because God is working. That's not because you guys made a decision to pray more or to seek more or to fast more. That's because God is working. And God creates desires in you. God creates motivations for you. He takes your actions and He creates into something good. So think about that. Ponder on that. That God is deserving of all the glory. That His glory is a reflection of His holiness. Father, we thank You. God, we thank You that You are always working, Lord. Father, we thank You that Your goodness, Lord, it has never failed. God, and You never give up on us, Lord. Lord, that Your glory is forever. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with His glory. God, let Your name be glorified in our lives. Lord, that when people see the quality of our work, they will know that we are glorifying God through that. When people see the quality of our actions and the quality of our words and the quality of everything we do. Lord, let that be for Your glory, God. Lord, let the quality of our life represent Your glory. God, that we are not just living just to be free of sin, God, but we're living with a direction to glorify You, God. To seek after You, Lord. That we may walk in a way that is worthy of our calling. That we may walk and live a life that is worthy of the election that you have placed on us, God. Lord, I pray that our hearts will desire, Lord, and strive to glorify your name. God, I pray that our actions and motives will not be for self-glorification, but for the glorification of God alone. Father, I pray if there's any hearts here today, God, that have not been born again. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will draw them into repentance. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to them right now. God, we believe that you are the God that saves, that you are the God that heals, that you are the God that changes hearts. Father, we pray, let your will be done. God, let your kingdom come. Lord, not for our sake, not for our credits, God. Not to grow our youth, Lord, but for your name to be glorified. God, that in everything that we do, we can glorify your holy name. Lord, I pray, God, be with us in Jesus' name.